be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Well, it's good to be with you this evening. This morning, we were absolutely blessed and privileged to have former Bishop Michael Bourne come to speak at St. Paul's, who was the Bishop of Chester, before that, Vicar of All Souls, Langham Place, who spoke on Christianity and suffering. And he was amazing. If you ever get the chance to hear him speak on that subject or to read his book, which is called The One Big Question, I thoroughly recommend it. Just to illustrate that, at the end of his talk, he'd brought 100 copies of his book with him. Our church is about the same size as your church. And he sold 95, because that's what people thought. I want that. I want that for my friend. I want that for me. So, yeah, strongly recommended. So I'm sort of the B shift. Can we have the PowerPoint? Starting with the film. There we go. The film Captain Phillips. Who's heard of the film Captain Phillips? Yeah, quite a few people. If you haven't, that's fine. You don't have to know the film. Tonight I'm going to ruin it for you because I'm going to tell you all about it. And it did pretty well, but didn't win an Oscar. Tom Hanks got put up for an Oscar. One of the Somali guys who acts in it got a BAFTA. So it made a splash when it came out. And I was attracted to preach on it because it raised the subject of heroes. Who is a hero? What is a hero? I want you to just think for a moment. I'm conscious I've got 4 film clips. I crave your indulgence tonight if we go on a bit longer than sometimes because I want to show you all those film clips. But I would like you, let's start off by turning to your neighbor, or if you're shy, just thinking by yourself. Who are your heroes? Is there a hero that you have? Dead hero, in political hero, sporting hero, hero in anywhere, any kind of person. You think, oh, I really admire that person. I really look up to that person. I really think so-and-so is fantastic. I love the book they read, or I love the talk they gave. Anything. Turn to your neighbour and just... Could be Arsene Wenger. Could be Nigel Farage. Could be Trevor Patterson. That was 3 joke suggestions. And obviously, the question that goes with that is, why are they your hero? What is it about them, what they did or what they were or who they are, that makes them your hero? Okay, that was just a preamble, really. So carry on that conversation at the end of the sermon if it was interesting, or quickly dash off if it wasn't and you don't want to get cornered. So, you'd be surprised the kind of heroes people have. Next slide, please. In March of this year, I went to speak at a conference in France about Charlemagne. Now, I'm pretty sure that nobody here would say Charlemagne was the hero for them, because he just wouldn't be. But here's the thing. 2 countries, France and Germany, so think that Charlemagne is a hero that 1,200 years after his death, they arranged a conference with flying-in speakers from all over the world to celebrate him and his legacy. They think he's a hero. And it's particularly to do with the politics of Europe and so forth, because the French claim him, the Germans claim him, and he was kind of great. So they think, oh yeah, he'll be a good figurehead, a good poster boy for the EU. And My background is I studied medieval history, so I study Charlemagne. And he's held up as this great emperor who made Europe great. But at the same time, if you were a Saxon living in northern Germany at the time of Charlemagne, his troops came into your villages, burned them down, killed the menfolk, took the women captive, and led them off into exile. You didn't really think he was much of a hero. He was brutal, and he lived in a brutal age. But there's lots of things about him you think, that's not very heroic, actually. Coming nearer our own time, and thinking about the theme of films, Abraham Lincoln is a hero, would be a hero to many. Yeah, I mean, you've all heard of him. You might even think, yeah, he's pretty heroic. He brought freedom to the slaves in the southern United States. But actually, it doesn't take long to search on the web to see that there are a load of people, particularly living in the southern states of the United States, who do not see Lincoln as a hero at all. They see someone who dragged their country into a civil war and who was disastrous for America. Go forward again to nearer our own time. Now everyone can agree Nelson Mandela was a hero. I mean, he's the nearest thing we've got to a living saint since Princess Diana. And yet, those of us with longer memories know that at the time of his life, there were many in this country, and particularly to the embarrassment of David Cameron, many in the Conservative Party, who regarded him basically as a terrorist, because he was involved in an armed struggle. I don't know how they airbrushed over it at the time of his funeral, but Mrs. Winnie Mandela did a load of things that were pretty awful, and that, who knows what he knew about them. The thing is, as soon as you get a hero, any hero from any period of history, particularly if you get one from the church, then you find that they've got feet of clay. You find they've got flaws. And there are things about them that actually you'd rather not mention. They're kind of very unheroic. And it's just the same in Scripture. If you go back to the Old Testament, we did a sermon series on Judges earlier in the year. I love the book of Judges, but the characters in it are appalling. This is, if you don't know, www.thebricktestament.com. It's wonderful. It's deeply scurrilous, but it is wonderful. This is Gideon. And Gideon was a great hero. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, God is with you. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And he led this glorious victory, freeing the nation by the power of God and trusting in God to freedom. But then it all went to his head and he became this, he said, I don't want to be king, and yet lived with all the trappings of kingship. And set up an idol in his back garden. And people worshipped it. Or take another hero from Scripture. King David. I mean, David, an amazing leader of God's people. A man after God's own heart. Glorious psalms. And yet, you know how things went wrong. There he is, on his rooftop, looking out over the city, sees Bathsheba having a bath. And everything goes downhill. And it's not just that. It's not just Bathsheba. It's the decisions that he makes afterwards, or the decisions he ducks afterwards, and how he lets his sons run wild, and things go disastrously wrong. And this is the thing about the people of God, that even the heroes that we might have in the people of God, the heroes of Scripture, are flawed characters with feet of clay. So this evening, we want to look at someone called Captain Phillips. And my question watching this film was, and the thing that fascinated me about this film, which is based on a true story, is, was Captain Phillips a hero? There was another film I thought about preaching on, a film called Flight with Denzel Washington, about an airline pilot who manages to land a plane where everyone else would have crashed it, but is discovered to have been high on drugs and alcohol. And the interesting question in that film, too, was, is he a hero or is he not? And we had heated debates in our household over that question. But actually, I didn't enjoy the film that much, so I thought, I'm not going to choose that one. But I did enjoy Captain Phillips. I loved it, and I'll tell you why as we go on. And I thought, is he a hero or is he not? Because while we were watching it, we had interesting debates about this subject. But the thing is, most of us don't know the story of Captain Phillips unless we've seen the film. But if you were in the States at the time these things happened, you would know the story ever so well. You know the start, you know the middle, you know the end. So let's find out what really happened, the true story behind the story of the film, by watching some newsreel footage of the time. Now, the technology is apparently misbehaving, but we'll see what we can do with Windows Media Player to watch a clip from the DVD.
American ship captain remains a hostage to pirates in a small boat with a lid on it in the waters
ship
off
with
Somalia.
20 American crew members on it has been hijacked off the coast of Somalia. This vessel was en route to Mombasa, Kenya.
This is a cargo ship that is said to be carrying food supplies into the Horn of Africa.
The latest information that we have is coming from the Danish company that owns the ship, the Maersk Alabama. They say that the 20-man crew were all U.S. nationals. It was flying a U.S. flag.
This is a hostage situation. It is a humanitarian situation. So people are stepping through this very carefully, not offering many details to the news media, as you can well imagine, if there is a hostage rescue situation to be had here. A U.S. Navy warship is said to be on the way. It is at least 3 hours away. The question will be what it will be able to accomplish.
It's now the sixth hijacking in just this past week.
The American perspective.
It all happened. This is a genuine story of a genuine hostage crisis. Captain Phillips's ship, he was a captain sailing off the coast of Africa. They were taken hostage. The whole ship was taken hostage. And then he himself ended up, just him, with the hijackers in that little tiny boat that you saw on the footage there. Was he a hero or not? Well, are we back to the other one? Oh, yeah, next picture. For the media, he was definitely a hero. This was a huge news story. You saw a few clips there. This captain, who the all-American hero, allowed himself to be taken hostage, and it was a massive story. However, for the crew, he was not a hero. They sued the ship's owners for, I quote, willful, wanton, and conscious disregard for their safety. They said, he put our lives in danger. He is not a hero. He is actually the villain of the piece. So immediately you have a conflict there. Was he a hero? Was he not a hero? We were watching the film, as I say, and my wife Heather said, I think this is next, yeah. No, he's not a hero because stuff just happened to him. It's not heroic if somebody else takes action on your life and you just happen to find yourself in a situation. Because it wasn't his choice to do the things that he did. It wasn't his choice. It just happened. So he wasn't a hero. At the same time, I was saying, but honey, yes, he is a hero. Because it was the way he responded to those situations. And the things that I picked up particularly, we'll see now. Here's the first one, a clip from the film, which I thought, wow, this is heroic. Let's, again, doing a bit of computer juggling, let us see what I saw in the film that I thought, that is true heroism. Here we go.
Every crew, 1 minute, I will kill someone. 1 minute. Another minute, I kill somebody. I kill all your friends. 1 minute. I will no call again.
Castle of a Derby, son! Castle of a no! So fast in your plane! You think we're playing?
I'm doing the best.
No way.
I'm doing the best.
Easy, I tell you. Easy.
Super fast!
Somebody, you shoot me.
Where is the crew, Iris?
Where
is the crew?
I don't know.
That's us.
I'm here with you.
No. Where is the crew? I see nobody.
I'm the captain. I'm the captain.
That is fucking.
If you're gonna shoot somebody, you shoot. Shoot me. It's my ship.
You killing him. You killing him.
I'm the captain. I'm the captain, not them.
What is this fucking?
This is just wanted money. You said this was just business. Is this business? Is this how you do business?
10 seconds, Sahib. Die right now, Sahib. Biri. What? Who took it? Sugura.
I want to search the ship.
So, I think that was pretty heroic. I'm the captain, shoot me. Don't shoot him, shoot me. I'm the captain, taking responsibility, offering his life. That is heroic. And then what happens is that the crew, this is all based, as I say, on what actually happened on this ship, the Maersk Alabama. The crew actually managed to capture one of the hijackers, the hostage takers, as he's searching the ship. And they hold him hostage and say, I tell you what, the crew say this, we'll swap your guy for the captain. And they agree to do that. The hijackers agree. They'll take the money out of the ship's safe. And they say, we'll go on the lifeboat and we will take, if we're on to the next clip in just a moment, we will take our man back and we'll let your captain come back to you. So that's the deal. And now you'll see what happens next.
You come with us till we get our guy.
No. You'll get your guy.
Get him away! Listen! Hey! You come or I kill everybody! I don't care! It's your choice!
All right!
You go in!
All right, Chief! Bring the guy up now! It's gonna be okay! Bring him up! Move. Chief, you got the crew!
No, don't, Cap! Don't get in there!
We gotta get him off the ship!
Not like this! Cap, you can't do this! God damn it, Cap!
All right, who's driving this thing? Now look, very simple to operate. On, off, start, stop. Compass to follow your heading. And you see your throttle there. You got a squawk box.
Gus.
Enough,
Gus.
Plenty of fuel to get all the way to Samoa.
Cap, we got the guy.
This thing, let's go.
All right. Send them all in. I'm coming out.
Okay, send them in. Let him go.
Let him go.
Hey.
Go. Send the captain out. All right, now that handle, see? You're going to want to move that up and down. You got to pump it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you drop.
Cap, coming out. Cap, what's going on in there?
Just however many times it takes, pump it, then you're in the water and off you go.
So, was that heroic? Saying, I got to get them off this ship. And he ends up a hostage with them to spare the crew and to save the ship. Well, when these stories came out in the media, long before the film was made, and Captain Phillips wrote a book about it, his experiences, this made the crew really cross. So, next slide. They said, we weren't going to say anything, and then we hear this PR stuff coming out about him giving himself up, and he's still hostage. The whole crew's like, what? Everybody's in shock. So the crew said, he didn't give himself up, they pushed him in the boat. And Heather is proved right, you see, that he didn't say, let me nobly offer myself as a sacrifice. He just ended up in the boat, and they took off. They reneged on the deal. Basically. But what about saying, I'm the captain, shoot me? Next quote. Captain Phillips, the true Captain Phillips, not Tom Hanks, the real character, said, I didn't give myself up. I was already a hostage. And, next one, did he say, if you want to shoot somebody, shoot me? Unfortunately, no. The real Captain Phillips never offered to give up his life for his crew. So we're coming on the marriage course, because I was wrong and she was right. As a man, I can't live with that. No, but I was, first of all, I was disappointed. Oh, you know, that was the best bit of the film. That was brilliant. But then I find it's not true. But here's the thing I find fascinating. Paul Greengrass, the director, recognized the power of sacrifice. He said, I know what heroism is. I know what it looks like. It looks like a captain saying, I'll give my life for my crew. Looks like a captain saying, I'll get these people off the ship so that they are safe and I will risk my life. We recognize as human beings that is heroism. That's true heroism. And we long for it. And when it isn't there in real life, we make it up. You know, it makes a great film. It means that people like me are going, oh, wow, look at that. Even though it's not real. And as if to help me out, when I was preparing this sermon for the first time, when I preached it at St. Paul's, this was in the paper from the Daily Telegraph. A soldier who thought he was going to die after being shot through the neck picked up his gun and pinned enemy snipers down for another 90 minutes to save his colleagues. Lance Corporal Maloney was awarded the Conspicuous Gallantry Cross, the second highest military honour for his bravery last year. Lance Corporal Wesley Masters, an army medic who raced the injured soldier to administer life-saving treatment and continued to treat him during the ongoing gun battle, was also honoured with a military cross. We recognise that sacrifice, self-sacrifice, risking our lives for others is heroic, is a glorious thing to do. And yet all these people, the Captain Phillipses and the soldiers, they are all flawed. And in that respect, the greatest hero, the only true hero, is the one we heard about in our reading. It's Jesus. Because he says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus ruled and reigned over all. And yet he did the greatest act of heroism that the universe has ever seen. He came and sacrificed himself for love of you and me. And as he hung on the cross, the Father could have sent legions of angels to set him free. And Jesus said, no, this is the only way I can rescue them. And it's not made up, it's not a story, it's what he did. On the cross, as he was dying, people stood in front of him and mocked and said, ah, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. He saved other people. Let him save himself. Let him come down from the cross. Then we'll believe in him. And the irony, I'm always struck by the profound irony of Good Friday, because Jesus was the Son of God. He was the rescuer. He could have saved himself, but if he'd come down from the cross, he wouldn't have rescued us. That's why it's the greatest act of heroism the world has ever seen. That's why Jesus is the hero who has no feet of clay, who will not let you down, and who is the only one worth following. And I don't know who your hero was that you mentioned earlier when you were talking to somebody. Don't know if anyone got the gold star by going, well, Jesus, obviously, because we're in church and that's the right answer. But, you know, he is the only hero worth following. But there's a flip side to that. I don't know who said it, because this is all new and just come to me this evening. I don't know who first said this, but I know Tony Campolo said it. He said, "We were made for heroism. You and I were made for heroism. The reason, I was going to say we love films like Captain Phillips. You may not, you may have hated it. But the reason why so many people love films about heroes, whether they be superheroes or ordinary heroes, everyday heroes, is because we are made for heroism. There's something in our lives that cries out to be heroic. And particularly those of you who are a lot nearer the start of your lives than I am, God wants you to do something heroic with your life. Because that's the way he's made you. And there's something inside you that goes, yeah, but me, you know. Me? And we kind of do ourselves down, think, I could never do anything heroic. There's an American preacher, writer, teacher called Will Willimon. He's a Methodist. Don't hold that against him. And he had a group of students during the time of the Iraq War. Now, students are generally kind of counter-government, the establishment. And so they said, well, it's ridiculous that our government's going to war in Iraq. We really don't approve of it. And he said, don't you think it's right that people are giving their lives to free Iraq, free Kuwait, rather, at the time, because this was the first Gulf War. And they said, no, it's a waste of life. They shouldn't be doing it. And he said, well, can you think of anything that it's worth giving your life for? And they thought about it for a moment, and they said, no, we can't think of anything that's worth that cost. We can't think of anything that's worth giving our life for. And he said, well, the tragedy is then you're going to die for nothing. That's quite profound. I mean, he's a university lecturer, you know, he's quite clever. But if the flip side means if there's nothing worth giving your life for, then your life will just be for nothing. And that's kind of tragic because we were made for greatness. So when we look at Jesus and we see his sacrifice, if we want to follow Jesus, and why else would you come out at 6:30 on a sunny Sunday evening but that you want to follow Jesus? If it's worth laying down your life for him, then ask him what his plans for you are, what his ambition for you is, what his dreams for you are, so that you can do something heroic for him. And that can be all of us and any of us at any way and any time. Because the problem is now, as the preacher, I cannot tell you what that's going to look like for you tomorrow, next year, or for the rest of your life. I just can't, because I'm not God. And the great thing is that he can, and only he can. And it's got nothing to do with Somali pirates. You know, you don't have to become a ship's captain to be a hero for God. My friend Steve, and my other friend Mark, cycled. There was a slight discrepancy on Twitter and Facebook, but about 80 miles today in Burundi to raise money for the Great Lakes Appeal and Simon Guillebeau's work in Burundi. I think that's heroic. I mean, they're actually enjoying it because they're mad. But that's heroic. And there's a lot of people who are saying, hey, I'll give them money. Actually, I thought, I'll give Steve money because I think that's heroic. Flying out to Burundi and cycling however many miles. And the next bit is they're going up, I mean, he said 30,000 feet. So it's going to get a lot harder. But that's the kind of thing Trevor does. I understand. Little challenge there, Trevor. But maybe standing up as the only one in your class or your uni or your family or your workplace who speaks up for Jesus, that's heroic. Being the only person who stands up for a colleague or a friend who's being picked on. Being the only one who stands up for what's right when everyone else wants to do something that's wrong. I know Christians face those kind of challenges all the time. But that's heroic. Maybe it's deciding not to go for the well-paid career, but serving where God calls in somewhere unrecognized. That's heroic. Maybe, for some, it's actually following the calling into the well-paid career and going into the lion's den, where there is opposition to Christianity, because there's enormous opposition in places that are all about making money. It's really tough to be a Christian in those places. A friend in my last church said, "Simon, I don't know if I can be a Christian in my job, because my boss keeps telling me to lie. Because I've got to tell our suppliers that we can't pay for their invoice, and we can. And I'm not comfortable with that." That's tough. And I'm just throwing out examples, because for each one of us, there's going to be a unique calling. And it might be any day, any situation. Now, I'm going to give an example from my own life. It's not actually terribly heroic, but just to give you an illustration of something slightly bizarre that could happen to you. I was with the student group, with the young people's group, and we were going on a train together to a weekend, rather like the guys' weekend, out in the country, from the church in Paris that I was attending at the time. And I had a Bible out because I was preparing a talk. And I wasn't a vicar at the time, this woman next to me, she turned to me and said, and she said it in English, but with this kind of accent, "Is this a Bible you are reading?" And I thought, golly, your English is bad. Let me try French. So I tried answering in French, but she stuck to English. And the second reason I tried French was because all my English mates were there and they were all listening. So she said, "Can you tell me more about the Jesus?" And I'm thinking, yes, I can, but everyone's listening. And what am I going to say? And I might get it wrong. And it's that moment when you think, I could say, no, actually, ask my friend over there. He's a vicar. But I did, in my halting, stumbling way. She got off the train, never saw her again. But you know, that's a little tiny bit of heroism that day that you might be called to. So I think God is calling us to be heroic, and I think it's exciting, and I think it's a unique calling that you and I are being called to any day, any situation, to step up and step out and to live for Jesus and sacrifice, lay down our life and our pride and our plans for Jesus. And the thing that really made this film for me and made it really great rather than just good was the last little bit, the last bit of the film. And that's what I want to show you. And this is a clip not from the, if I remember rightly, this is a clip not from the film, but from the making of bit of the film. And I'm just seeing if we can cue it as I speak. There we go. And I call it Reality Breaks In, because you'll see that somebody shows what for me is amazing heroism in a very ordinary way.
When we got on board the ship that was the sister ship to the Bainbridge, we shot a scene that was sort of reminiscent of what was in the book, and it all made sense. But then we said, well, what did you do with him when you first got him? And the captain said, well, he was such a mess, the first thing we did was, you know, we took him to the infirmary.
Captain Phillips, please come in. Have a seat.
You know, and this is to Paul's credit, it wasn't on the schedule, it wasn't in the script, they haven't gone down to see what their infirmary looked like for lighting or camera positions or whatnot. And we worked with the actual infirmary crew, the people who would do that, and they just showed us what they would do. And we said, well, let's shoot this and see what happens.
I'm Chief O'Brien. I'll be your corpsman today, okay? Can you please tell me what's going on? Can you talk?
She was a real naval corpsman. And there's no way to explain to somebody how to make a movie if they've never made a movie before. And everybody in that room, particularly her, they were flustered the first time we did it. And it was, they literally waved to stop. I'm not sure what I'm saying. So we stopped and we said, look, that's perfectly all right. Don't worry about anything. This happens all the time. We're going to do it again. And you can't do anything wrong. That's really what we said.
Okay, I need you to look at me. I need you to calm down. I need you to breathe. There you go. Deep breaths. There you go. Very good. Awesome. Now I want you to relax your arm.
This is only a film. If you're in those real circumstances, you know, the things she has trained for, is a lot more important than the film. You know, it's saving lives, and that's, you know, we're just making a film. So she, when it came to it, she just put everything she knew in front of the camera, and it was incredible.
You're breathing okay. Okay. What happened to your head? Captain, can you tell me what happened to your head?
There is,
it's okay, take your time. Take your time. There's a 2-centimeter laceration on the left eyebrow. It's okay. It's okay.
Okay. Okay.
I want you to look at me and I want you to breathe. Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Is that a 4-centimeter gap? Little laceration there on the left temple? Okay. Very good. All right. You're doing great, okay? Did all this blood come from your eyebrow and your head?
What?
Did all the blood come from your eyebrow right here and on your head?
Well, not all of it.
Okay.
That's not mine.
Okay. All right. All right. Look at me. Okay. We're going to lay you down. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, this movie begins with a woman, Angie, Kathleen Keener, who says, are we going to be okay?
It's going to be okay, right?
Oh, yeah. And it ends with a woman, that Corman, saying, it's all right. You're okay. You're going to be okay. Which is this accidental, profound, you know, journey from one thing to the other.
Captain, you're safe now, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The emotion in the film, I think, you know, again, you hope that it's there, but until you actually see it put together and its effect on an audience, you don't know. So that was a surprise in a good way.
No matter who you talk to about piracy, whether it's the Navy SEALs, the shipping people, they all know that the answer to this is not on the water. It's not more patrols. It's not more SEALs. It's the conditions on the ground in Somalia have to change for this to end.
Although this is a very exciting film and it, you know, you've got to, if you make any film, make it worthwhile the audience paying to come and see it. There's always a bit of you that remembers that it's the real world and, you know, other people were not so lucky. And that was something that Richard Phillips, I remember him saying to me the first time I met him.
The first time that I met him, said, there are people out there that didn't get back. You always have to bear that in mind. So the film ends, or that clip just says to me, you know, the real heroism is not Tom Hanks being an amazing actor. And I thought that scene just showed what a brilliant actor he is. He's paid, you know, as a hero to many in society. It's not the Navy SEALs who rescued him in the mission. Although, you know, what they did was in their way heroic. The real heroes are that naval nurse who's just being herself. She wasn't an actor, and her love and her compassion just shone through. And the way she said, you're welcome, it moved me so much because she's just showing love. That's heroism. Being a nurse is heroic. And the people who are trying to change the situation in Somalia so that people don't turn to piracy, people who are working with charities and organizations to bring peace and justice to our world so that piracy ends. That's heroic. It's not catching the headlines, but it's heroic. So I think it's a film that really touched me and moved me because it shows true heroism, and it shows the true heroism of the ordinary. It shows the heroism that you and I, following Jesus, can do. So I'd love us to just stand, and I'd love to pray for us. Not to die for nothing, but to live for Jesus and to learn to listen to him and be heroic in the choices that we make in our schools, our colleges, our unis, our workplaces, our leisure time with our friends, with our families. I'm just going to be quiet for a moment, and if you want to echo that in your heart, then just say it to God now. Jesus, I thank you.